The book that we're teaching August 20th is this one. It's got a place for a pencil. And then look at this. It's unfolded. There's a pocket. And there's a, you know, folded pages.
The first thing you notice about Leisha Shaver's working space is paper. Lots of it. And understandably so, because Leisha is a bookbinder, restorer, and also teaches book arts workshops. She owns Little Mountain Bindery in Fayetteville and is one of the very few bookbinders and restorers in Northwest Arkansas.
Well, in Fayetteville, I'm the only one. In Rogers, there's a friend of mine who works out of his house. You know, he's retired, so he's not necessarily trying to make a living at it, but he does do, you know, really great restoration, and his name is Mike Shipley. And then there's another guy in Little Rock, John Majacek with J&B Quality Bindery, and he's a mentor of mine, and he does more production work, but he also does some restoration.
Leisha has a bachelor's degree in English and an MFA in creative writing. While in graduate school, she co-edited a collection of essays that talked about the migration of the literary magazine from paper to a digital format. This was around 1999-2000.
And there was still a lot of question about the validity of those magazines versus a print magazine. And, you know, I was a poet, and these were the questions we had. But what happened was, when we solicited all these essays and we put the collection together, it really became more about a book versus not having a book. And I just started really thinking about books. So I just really wanted to learn to make them. All of a sudden, it kind of clicked. I want to do something with my hands. And so it turns out I have like this insatiable desire to do things with my hands. Like, I never get tired of making things with my hands. Whereas poems, maybe, you know, I did have a ceiling there.
At the time, Leisha lived in Memphis. She found an instructor at the Memphis College of Arts to teach her the art of bookmaking. She started with how to make a pamphlet and went all the way to multi-signature binding. Thereafter, she landed an apprenticeship in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where finally she learned the art of book repair and restoration.
When I think of restoration, I think of basically trying to keep the book as original as possible. Basically trying to be as, you know, non-invasive as possible, if that makes sense. So that we're not really changing the book at all. And we want it to really look how it originally looked, you know? And usually that means using what's there on the book.
So are book repair and book restoration different processes?
Repair is different in that you're just trying to make the book function again. You know, someone's Betty Crocker cookbook from 1975, for example, and the spine's breaking off. Well, what they really want is function, you know, and because they're using it. And so, you know, maybe we put a buckram spine on it, you know, something really strong, industrial kind of, that's not like what you might think of as beautiful. It's still a neat, clean, nice repair, but now they can take it into the kitchen and not worry if a little bit of grease splatters on it. They can kind of wipe it off with a moist cloth and keep going.
Over the years, Leisha has restored hundreds of books. Some of these are literally treasures dating back to the early 17th century. Some qualify as treasures simply because they're a part of someone's family history. Sometimes Leisha finds herself getting attached to some of these treasures.
I just recently did a collection of, this was a really great project, and I love to do this kind of thing. I do a lot of custom bindings, and I did a woman had letters from World War II that were written from her husband's father to his dad, and she wanted me to bind the letters. You know, she had them copied. And bind the letters in this really beautiful leather book. And we did a really full treatment. It was really nice, a really nice gift for her husband's birthday.
Leisha tells me she loses a lot of sleep over such treasures because even though she does her best to make a book better, she worries about meeting her clients' expectations. She also sometimes finds other treasures in the pages of these treasures.
A carnation that's been flattened or a telegram. You know, I've found lots of telegrams, prayer cards, obituaries, poems that people have written, letters that people have written. And so that I make little envelopes, put all the stuff I find in an envelope with a, you know, client's name on it and then give it back to them.
She offers to show me around her studio. We move toward a cabinet with several drawers.
This is basically a type cabinet. And, you know, if someone comes and they want me to put the title on a book, as you can see, I'm really bad about putting letters up when I'm done. But here are some remnant titles of books. And I put them, and I heat them up in this machine over here called a quick print. And, you know, stamp them onto the book. I don't do a lot of hand lettering yet. That's one of those things that probably is in my future. But
what's hand lettering?
Well, hand lettering is when you take a letter and you take your book and you, you know, stamp it on individually one at a time like that.
About 5 antique-looking sad irons sit on top of the type cabinet. Leisha uses these to weigh books down while they're drying. There's also one that's teeny tiny. It's not necessarily a book-binding tool. It's just a Leisha thing. There's also a guillotine that sits right next to the cabinet. It is used to trim uneven pages of a restored or a repaired book. It looks dangerous, mostly because it is.
I hope I'm not one of these people that says this later, because I've met a lot of bookbinders who have a missing part of a finger. So hopefully I won't be one of those people. I try to be really safe and, you know, for the most part, you know, if it's a tool that's dangerous, I don't let students use it. You know, I use it for them, and so.
There are also sheets of beautiful, exotic papers all arranged color-wise.
So this is a paper from India. This is an Italian paper, Mexico, Nepal, Japan. I'm not sure about this one. You know, some of the most beautiful papers that come are from, in my opinion, India and Japan. They're also more expensive, especially the Japanese papers. They use a lot of gold. But the quality of this paper is really phenomenal. And using it, especially for box making, book arts, is really a treat. So mainly I'm doing it as a, I mean, because I love paper. But also as a courtesy to my students. I mean, it's expensive to order paper. And it's hard, I think, to order paper online.
A few of Leisha's book arts classes are coming up really soon.
August 6th. That would be Patricia's class. She's actually, this is kind of interesting for anybody who does scrapbooking. Patricia takes scrapbooking to a whole different level. And then August 20th, I have another guest teacher. She's working on a book that Hedy Kyle created, and it's pretty much no glue. It's all folding and sewing, and it has little pencil and pockets and little books inside it. It's a really neat little book. So those two things are coming up. I think September I'm teaching the caterpillar stitch. I'll show you that one. It's pretty interesting. We'll do a much smaller version of this. But basically, the caterpillar stretches across your book. And actually, the one we do will go over the spine, too. So this is actually my daughter's baby book.
Leisha says there's something about binding and restoring books that brings out the philosopher in people. She's had some really, really strange conversations with her clients.
Someone will come in and I may have the conversation with them about them dying. I mean, because what they're thinking about is passing something on. I've gotten used to it. People bring it up and they'll say things like, well, just as long as you get it done before I die, you know, or
Talking about death, what about the so-called impending death of printed books?
I'm really not worried, and maybe that's naive. I kind of think it's possible that the kind of digital book is going to make the book more valuable as a handcrafted thing. Because, honestly, I don't mind that everybody is buying what they would have bought in mass paperback on a Kindle. I think, goodbye mass paperback. You know, that's fine with me. I mean, it's just a waste of paper in a way. I mean, the paper's terrible. It's not going to last. It's, you know. I'm hoping that what could happen as a positive for handbook binders like myself and other, you know, there's a lot of us around the country, is that maybe a digital book could be printed on a really nice, you know, high rag content paper, and then could be brought to your local handbook binder. And depending on how much you want to spend, as they once were done, you know, would be the type of binding that you could get on it. Maybe I'm being weirdly optimistic about that.
Maybe she's supremely optimistic. Maybe she's just, in her own words, a little crazy about books.
I think you have to be just a little bit crazy to want to do, I mean, or something, you know, I mean, I just think maybe I am a little bit crazy for wanting to do this or loving it. So I don't know. I mean, and the people I know who are doing the same thing are probably a little bit crazy too, you know.
More information on the Little Mountain Bindery can be found on www.littlemountainbindery.com. You can also log on to its Facebook page. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Ithi Agnihotri Mudholkar.